It's good to be with you. Thanks very much, Paul. What a strange time we've been in since I was last here. Wow, I'm sure that that your church and maybe individually you've seen some of the impact of COVID-19 this week. Our church had a funeral for a dear Christian woman in our church who had been on a ventilator for 8 weeks and then passed away. We have another woman in our church who's dealing with long COVID and feeling the real effects of that. But we know that other churches are affected worse as well, and we're thankful, aren't we, to the Lord for the ability to be able to meet like this and the lockdown starting to be eased. But it's a difficult time, isn't it? And I think it's important that we look to the Word, and hopefully we can be encouraged by it. I'm going to look today at Luke chapter 2. And in fact, just two verses. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. While you're turning there, I'd love you to think for a second. If you haven't got your Bible, I'll read the verses. I want you to think about what you would like to achieve in your life. I wonder if you think about this very often. When you pass on into glory, what are the things that you would like to be remembered for? What do you want to achieve? We live in a world where achievement is very important, isn't it? And we can sometimes be caught up in that. Maybe you think, you know what, when I pass into glory, I'd love to have had a family, and maybe see my grandchildren grow up a little. Maybe you wanted to have had a job of some significance. Maybe people realize that I had a job that made a difference. Or maybe financial security. You know, I've got a mortgage, I've paid it off, I'm able to leave something to my loved ones. What do you want to achieve? What I'd love you to do is think about that question as I read these verses, as we think about the prophet or prophetess Anna and whether she achieved any of the things that we're thinking about. So Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 36, says this: "There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She'd lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." So the context here is that we're early in the Gospel of Luke. So Jesus, the child has been born, and then has been taken by Mary and Joseph to the temple. And Simeon has kind of taken the child in his arms, thanked the Lord, and kind of given this prophetic, prophecy, really. And then straight after that, Anna has come up and seen the child. And that's the context there. But take a second now, as we think back over the things that you've just thought of. Think of Anna. These are the only two verses we have in the whole of the Bible about her. Did she achieve any of the things that we were thinking about? I would imagine it's very unlikely that she did. She didn't have a family. She didn't have financial security. She seemed to have nothing to her name. She won't be remembered for her great contribution to any work or any job. But I think Anna achieved an incredible amount in her life, and things that I would like to show to you today that I hope that we would long to be remembered for. We've already mentioned the Duke of Edinburgh's funeral yesterday. I thought it was a very moving tribute. But I was really interested in the way people talked about his life. And did you notice this again about the achievement? It was a lot to do about what he had achieved. Well, he was involved in these different humanitarian efforts, and he in the Royal Air Force, and how he supported the Queen, and had a really big family, and the Duke of Edinburgh Award was mentioned lots of different times. Again, all good things, but isn't it interesting that we're so focused on achievement, we're so focused by what you can offer, that if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in that same position. What am I going to offer? What am I going to be remembered for? What can I do of great significance? And I think Anna did nothing really of great significance, but what she did do sets us a wonderful example. She lived what I would call the unexpected life. We learn that she had got married, and married for 7 years, and so we presume there was a whirlwind romance that many of us have had, and the joy of getting married, and maybe the thoughts with her husband about starting a family, all these ideas, all these plans that she had for her life, and then suddenly, the worst thing happens. Now, we don't know what happened to her husband, but he dies. And suddenly Anna, who had all these ideas, all these things she wanted to achieve, all these things she wanted to do with her husband and all these plans she had in her mind, suddenly in an instant wiped out. She suddenly was living the unexpected life. She didn't plan for that. It's not what she wanted, but ultimately that was the situation that she was in. I wonder if any of you are living the unexpected life. I wonder if any of you, maybe you've been widowed, or have been divorced, or always been single. Maybe you're someone who's never been able to have a family. Maybe you're someone who lives with pain daily in your life. Maybe you're someone that is dealing with family breakdown, and there is breakdowns of relationship which cause great pain. Maybe you are living, like Anna, the unexpected life. You didn't want the situation you're in. You never planned for it. It's not what you had wanted, but this is the situation that you're in. And the question is, what are you going to do then with your life? What are you going to achieve with the situation that you're in? Are you going to be like Anna or not? And I hope that you will. She lived the unexpected life. But there are a number of things about her story that are unexpected. And I'd like to just go through these five things very quickly. Firstly, we see that she is an unexpected prophetess. I don't know if you've thought about this before, but the role of being a prophetess, a female prophet, is very rare in the Bible. We only see about five people named, specifically by name, as female prophets. Not only that, though, at the start of the Gospels, we have had 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and the start of the New Testament. 400 years where there were no prophets. 400 years where God spoke no new revelation. 400 years where nothing was added. God didn't say anything. So it's a time of great quietness and a kind of the wilderness experience for God's people. Suddenly, with the birth of the Messiah, the baby Jesus, there are new prophets raised up. And I think Simeon is a prophet, and I think Anna as well. God is doing something new through the birth of this baby child. But she had an unexpected occupation. You wouldn't kind of think that, would you, at first? As you head into the temple and you see this lovely little old lady, she has one of the rarest roles, one of the rarest occupations in the whole of the Bible. But here she is with an unexpected occupation. Not only that, though, she comes from an unexpected family. I wanted to point this out from verse 36. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. Again, a little bit of Old Testament context. If you know the 12 tribes of Israel that were founded in the Old Testament, and there is a time where they are split into the north and south regions. So that's 10 tribes and 2 tribes. And the part of the 10 tribes is the tribe of Asher. And there is a point when the Israelites, because of their sin, because of their folly, they are taken into captivity in Babylon. And that is hundreds of years before this is written, maybe 700, 800 years before this is written. That is the last we hear of the tribe of Asher. It's gone. Most people then believed that the tribe of Asher was completely wiped out. But here, in the temple, this old dear serving in the temple is part of a tribe that they thought was completely lost. She comes from a very unexpected family. She has an unexpected occupation. But also, she makes a very unexpected home. You see that? That she lived, end of verse 37, and she never left the temple. This again causes an issue for Bible commentators and scholars, because we've just found out that Anna was from the tribe of Asher, and to serve in the temple, you needed to be from the tribe of Levi. Not only did you need to be from the tribe of Levi, you needed to be a male. So what is Anna doing in the temple? Now, there are two options that we can go for. The first is that the way it talks about it, that she never left the temple. Maybe that's a slight kind of poetic exaggeration. You know, kind of saying like, when I say it always rains in Manchester, you know what I mean. Because it doesn't literally always rain, but it really feels like it does. Maybe that's what the author is saying. She never left the temple. Was like, any chance she could, she would go to the temple. That's one option. The second option, I think maybe the text lends more to this. The other option is that she wasn't going anywhere else. Maybe it wasn't part of the rules. Maybe it wasn't part of what was accepted. But she has just been widowed. What's she going to do? Where's she going to go? Now, the New Testament makes it very clear that people who are widows, think of Paul in Timothy, saying in Timothy 2 that if there are true widows, it's for the church to provide for them and to care for them. And obviously the church at this point isn't formed. It should be her family that takes care of her. And so because she doesn't go, as far as we can see, to her family, it makes me think that she is completely on her own. And I wonder if she's just gone into the temple and said, I've got nowhere else to be. And maybe there was a little corner of the temple that became her place of residence. And she just said, you know what, I'm going to be here all the time anyway. So whether it was a slight kind of poetic exaggeration or whether she just decided never to leave, it's not so much, you know, the what of it, what actually happened. I think the more important question is why. Why did she want to be in the temple? I think that's seen clearly in her life of devotion that we'll hear of in a minute. She wanted to be where God's presence was. And in the old covenant, before Christ came and brought in the new covenant, this is where God's presence was felt most keenly, was in the temple, wasn't it? And we start to see some of her life of devotion. She says, I just want to be where God is. I want to be where his presence is. And she says, I'm not leaving the temple. I'm not going anywhere. I want to be where God's presence is. And to think now, as we are some 2,000 years ago, we know that God's presence is not defined by a building. Now, it's wonderful, isn't it, to be back in person? But it's not like this last year you've not been able to worship. It's not like this last year you've not been able to pray and experience God near. Yes, we love to sing and we love to do that together and we want to talk and we want to have fellowship. But we are under a new covenant where God's presence can be felt anywhere. Put on a CD in your car. Listen to a sermon in your bedroom. Read your Bible in the garden. God's presence and God's Spirit poured out over his people anywhere. No longer defined just by a building. But Anna shows even those years ago that she longed to be where God was. What about you? Do you long to be where God is? Do you want to be where God's presence is? Anna lived the unexpected life. She had an unexpected occupation. She came from an unexpected family. She made an unexpected home. And then we see the second half of verse 37. She offers unexpected devotion. She never left the temple, as we've seen, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. This is surprising, unexpected devotion from a woman who was faced such a difficult situation in her life. This wasn't the life that she wanted. It wasn't the life that she expected. It wasn't the life that she planned. But even in her grief, even in her sorrow, even in the difficulty and the hardship of her life, she didn't become bitter. She didn't become angry at God. She didn't kind of remove herself and say, right, God, you go that way because you've treated me harshly. She runs towards God and then she offers praise and prayer and fasting and devotion. She pours out her life to God in worship. I absolutely love this. Don't you want to be more like Anna, who it's not, you know, it's right to feel grieved and to mourn the loss of people, but she doesn't stay in that place. Some point in her journey, her frustration turns to praise. At some point, her tears turn to worship and adoration of God. Instead of turning away from God, she runs towards him. Is that our inclination? It's so easy when life goes the way we don't want it to go, we remove ourselves. Instead of drawing near to God, we start going our own path. Anna sets us a great example. And I think later on in Luke, there's a parable that Jesus tells that really reminds me of Anna. And I wanted to read it to you from Luke chapter 18. I wonder, as you think about Anna, as I read it, whether you'll recognize. I wonder whether you will see any similarities. What's the word? Similarities. There you go. I should have got out of bed earlier. Right, let me read you Luke chapter 18 and look at some similarities. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. So recognize that Jesus, he gives the punchline at the start. Right, so this is what you need to listen out for. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" See any similarities? We have Anna, the widow, in the unexpected life. And we have a widow here talked about in Luke 18 who keeps coming to a judge and asking for justice. You know that this situation is wrong. We don't know what's happened. Maybe someone's killed her husband. She wants justice. Maybe her house or her property has been taken from her. You know, it talked about the Pharisees kind of stealing widows' homes. Maybe it was that. But she keeps going and time and time and time again. And the judge, he's not a good guy. He doesn't love justice. He doesn't fear God. But he's just sick and tired of being hounded by this widow coming, and he realizes, look, just to get some peace, I am going to give her justice. And you see, it talked there about her coming and attacking me. In the Greek, basically, it means a black eye, and different translations take it different ways. I don't think that the judge actually feared that she was going to physically attack him. I think he felt like he was being punched in the face continually, you know, just like bam, bam, time and time. And he's in the corner, he's like, "Just give up," and she's like, "I'm not going anywhere." Isn't it interesting that this is the way Jesus tells us to pray? Keep praying. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep praying time and time and time and time again, over and over and over again. And that's exactly what Anna did in the temple, praying day and night, praying again and again and again. "Lord, would you intervene? Lord, would you bring me justice? Lord, would you use me? Lord, I worship you." This is unexpected devotion from Anna, which is just a beautiful example. And from the parable, I think we see that we are meant to be like the widow because the judge in that parable is not like our God. So the unjust judge, we're not, our God is not like that. Our God is not a God who only after we constantly beg him just says, "All right, just, you know, here you go, I'll give you a bit of justice, or I'll answer your prayer." We know that God loves to answer our prayers. God loves to intervene. So we should be like the widow because God is not like the judge. God is our heavenly Father who loves to give good gifts. So will we pray? Will we pray persistently? Will we pray consistently, day and night, crying out to God that he would intervene? And there is an unexpected devoted woman. And the final thing we see, I think, is that she is an unexpected evangelist. I don't know if you saw that in the last verse, verse 38. "Coming up then at that very moment, she gave thanks to God," so always thanking and praising God, "and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." So she's a prophet. She already speaks for God. Then she's praising God and honoring God in the temple. And then anyone who comes nearer, it's like, "Let me tell you about this Jesus. Let me tell you about this baby. Let me tell you about this coming king." I'm so challenged by this, that it's not just her own personal devotion. It's not just her own kind of vertical relationship with God, but also out to anyone and everyone who will listen, she tells them about Jesus. I want to be like Anna. I want to be like that. That I take the opportunities to tell people about Jesus. He's too good to keep to ourselves. Anna lived the unexpected life, but she used the life that she'd been given from the Lord still to worship and to serve the Lord. And I want to be someone who does the same. Maybe you're living the unexpected life. What do you want to achieve? Let me finish with this story. I was thinking about this the other day and quite embarrassed, really, to share it. But I, years ago, when I was in Bible college, we went out for a birthday party. We were celebrating two birthdays in the group. And a guy who sat next to me, a friend of mine, he was very... It was his birthday, but he was really depressed. He was 30 years old. It was his 30th birthday. Can you imagine all of us looking back on 30? Like, that's very, very young. But anyway, he was like, oh, I can't believe it. I'm 30 years old. I'm so old. And just moaning on like this. And so me, I was 21 years old at the time. And I felt like I had this great wisdom. And I said, look. But look what you've got to show for your life. And everyone starts to, everyone around the table looks in. I'm clearly going to say something very wise. And I said, you know, but you're married. You've got two kids, beautiful kids, you've got a wonderful wife. You've got a wonderful job. Look what you've got. Look what you've achieved in your 30 years. And as the last word kind of is said, is like out of my mouth, I kind of realize, I kind of wish that I could have grabbed those words and stuffed them back in my mouth. Because I look around the table to the woman who's, we're also celebrating her 30th birthday. And she isn't married. And she doesn't have a job. And she doesn't have any children. And I realized in that moment that I had summed up a life well lived. 30 years is well spent if you've got a family, if you've got a job, if you've got a husband or wife. I don't think you see that from Luke chapter 2. Many of us are blessed to be married. I am very grateful to be blessed. But the unexpected life, many of us lived a life that we didn't expect, as Anna did. But are we going to sum up a life well spent simply by the things that we achieve or the things that we do in terms of the world's views as good or useful? Or are we going to achieve things that the Lord sees as useful? I think Anna is one of the strongest examples of a worshipful life in the Bible. And I want to be like her. Maybe you're not living the unexpected life. Maybe things have gone very well for you. You never know when the unexpected life might arrive. I think we've all seen through COVID-19 how... And none of us were expecting that, were we? And suddenly life is changed. Whatever happens, whatever the Lord brings into our lives, whatever situation we face, good or bad, let's be people who offer our lives in praise and worship to the Lord and are ready to tell others the good news. Amen? Let me pray.